Beautiful but Deadly,
where the beauty of makeup
meets a horror of true crime with Chuck
and Liz.
This is gonna be a tough episode.
Me! We're all just gonna be triggered together. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
I had a full breakdown over it the other night where I had to talk to Alex. It's fine.
You know that meme that's like screaming, crying?
Yeah. Me. Okay, so trigger warnings for today: intimate partner violence, gun violence, emotional psychological abuse, assault, sexual assault,
domestic violence.
Okay, so today's episode is going to be talking about, if you can tell from the triggers, domestic violence, abusive relationships, you know, things of that nature. So coming from personal experience, it is really easy to not realize that you are in an abusive relationship. I know the big thing that a lot of people say is, why didn't they just leave? Well, unfortunately, it's not that easy. Abusers can manipulate your whole version of reality where you don't know which way is up. So we decided to dedicate an episode to discussing abusive relationships, including signs of an abusive relationship and red flags to look out for to hopefully give you a heads up about someone. I will also talk about my experience as I was in an abusive relationship for 8 years. Obviously, I did some research, and Healthline had a really in-depth list of signs of an abusive relationship. So there's humiliation, negating, and criticizing. This includes name calling. They'll call you stupid or tell you you're a loser or other awful things. For me, I was constantly told that I'm stupid, and it came from someone who I looked at as being really smart. And there is that saying that if someone tells you something enough, you start to believe it. So something like so small as this can take a toll on you. I genuinely believed that I was stupid for far too long. And I will tell you this, someone who truly loves you will not name call. My current boyfriend would literally never say a bad word about me.
And I would also like to point out, we use humor to cover up our pain. So, we're not laughing because this is funny. We're laughing because I want to freaking lose my mind.
Let's freaking lose it.
So another one is derogatory pet names. Basically a more subtle way to name call. The example that they gave is something like, my chubby pumpkin. For me, he always said I had chubby cheeks, which can sound cute in the moment, but it's really a dig at my appearance. They want to break down your self-esteem to make it easier to manipulate you. Okay, then there's character assassination. Saying things like, you always do something. You're always late. You're always wrong. You always screw everything up. They basically try to say that you're a bad person. Or for me, I always start fights, which if you know me, is laughable. I hate confrontation. Like, how often do I start a fucking fight?
Mm-hmm. And also, never. It can be like, if you bring up a topic that's never resolved, and the other person's like, you always bring that up. Yeah, because so, well, it's not resolved.
So, like, he would start fights and then say, I always start fights for no reason. So, like, he would start a fight, I would express my feelings that I'm upset that he's trying to fight with me, and he would turn it around that I'm the one that started the fight, and if I want it to end, I have to apologize. Yelling. Yelling, screaming, swearing are meant to intimidate you and make you feel small. It could be accompanied with fist pounding or throwing things.
And vague threats, like, you'll regret doing that.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like people think that taking out anger on an object, such as, like, a wall, throwing something, is somehow better. It's not. Mm-hmm. If someone is willing to do that, more than likely they're going to turn to you at some point.
Yes.
If they can't control their and regulate their emotions as an adult,
there's something wrong there.
There's something wrong there.
Patronizing. Something like, aw, sweetie, I know you try, but this is just beyond your understanding. I want people to understand that a lot of things that they do are small and maybe hard to, like, are, like, easy to miss. But trust your gut. If someone makes you feel bad about yourself, they do not love you.
And even, like, one of these. Like, we all know that, like, condescending coworker that's like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good try, sweetie. But it's a lot of these building up.
Yeah.
Make it abuse.
Yes. And it's like, you also don't have to have every single one, though, to be abused.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense. Public embarrassment. They pick fights, expose your secrets, or make fun of your shortcomings in public. Dismissiveness. You tell them about something that is important to you, and they say it's nothing. Body language like eye rolling, head shaking, and sighing help convey the same message. In my past experience, he would bitch because I couldn't understand the high-level math he was doing, which was going to end up being his career,
And that's, like, I couldn't ask questions. How am I supposed to ask questions about something that I know nothing about? But, you know, I'd let him talk about it all he wants. You know, I was very attentive. But when I would try to talk about things that I cared about, like trying to learn French, he would just rant about how that's stupid and I should be learning something more useful.
Another one I remember is essentially saying, you can't be stressed because I'm in higher education. Oh, yes. My schooling is harder. Yep. I'm the one that deserves to be stressed, as if two people can't be stressed at the same time.
Yep.
Or you don't have it difficult because you're not doing X, Y, Z.
Yep. I have it difficult.
Not you. So you can't be stressed. You have to help me because I deserve to be stressed.
Yes. Exactly. Joking. These jokes might have a little truth to them, or they could just be completely fabricated. And there's sarcasm. This is usually just a dig in disguise. When you say you don't like it, they'll say they were just teasing you, and you shouldn't take things so seriously.
It's the definition of it. It was just a prank, bro.
It was just a joke. It's not that serious.
It's one of those things where, like, they know they're digging at you, mm-hmm. but they want that, oh, what is it fucking called? The plausible deniability of, like, yes. I didn't mean it like that.
No, I was just teasing you. Like, how dare you, like.
And yet again, it turns out on you being the problem. Yes. You can't take a joke. You're always like this.
Yep.
Why don't you understand me?
Yep. Insults to your appearance. They'll tell you a lot of the time right before you're going to go out that your hair is ugly or something along those lines. For me, it was my weight, which you also tried to control. My teeth, because I have a small gap, things like that. Small things that, like, are probably already something you're insecure about, and they prey on that. And he would constantly bring it up, too. When are you going to get your gap fixed? What are you going to do to fix your gap? It's really small. Like, it's not... Looking now, I'm like...
Like, you couldn't
even straw in there. Think about it. I don't even think about it.
You think you were hiding in closet or some shit. I also see one that's very common for, like, women is, like, you're dressing too young. Oh, or you're dressing too provocatively.
Yes.
To this, to that.
Yeah.
You should have your hair like this. I like girls with this color hair.
Yeah.
I like more modest girls. Girls that just show everything.
And, like, going back, like, because your abuser will break you down to the point where you think that you are worthless and, like, all of that. Like, find you a person, you know, a partner who just fucking gasses you up, you know?
Is your hype man.
Like, my boyfriend, I'll be like, oh, I'm thinking about doing something with my hair. I'm thinking about doing this. Because I'm so used to having to have that acceptance. I'll be like, yeah, do whatever makes you happy. And it's so crazy to have that now. Belittling your accomplishments.
What? Sorry, that was another one I thought of.
Go for it.
One that I often see, this is kind of random, but especially on, like, Bosch, for example, is so many women saying, my boyfriend wanted me to have, like, bigger boobs.
Yeah!
So I got a boob job. He bought me a boob job.
Fucking audacity!
Or what have you. Or, like, what is it called? You suction fat out.
Yeah, liposuction.
A liposuction. Or making digs at you after you have a baby.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Like, when are you gonna get your body back?
Yeah, that's fucked. Do not take that from anyone.
Nope!
Because, like I said, nope. If they truly love you, they will not fucking do that to you.
And I just want you to put yourself in that mindset. When you love someone, can you imagine saying that shit to them?
Exactly.
No, because you actually love them. That's the difference.
Yeah. Belittling your accomplishments. Your abuser might tell you that your accomplishments mean nothing or even claim responsibility for your success. So in my case, he tried to say that I never would have gone to college if he wasn't with me, which is complete and utter bullshit because my dad and I talked about me going to college since I was a little kid. Like, I went to college because I wanted to. The fuck?
Like, every single career choice that you wanted growing up, you needed college for. So it was it wasn't even, like, a conversation of, like, maybe I should or shouldn't go to college. It was like, oh, I'm going to college.
Yeah, I just knew from a young age I was going to go to college after high school.
And even when you had, like, difficulty, it wasn't a if, it was a when.
Yeah.
What am I going to do in college?
Mm-hmm.
To say it was all him is bullshit.
Well, there it is. Belittling your accomplishments.
To say it's any accomplishment you have is you. You did that.
You worked for it.
Whose name is going to be on the fucking diploma? Not his.
They put down your interests. They might say that your hobby is childish or a waste of time. So like I said previously about learning a language, he told me it was a waste of time.
Say what? Did you say what language specifically
French.
Before?
Yeah.
What this man knew fucking Greek. Who speaks Greek?
And Latin.
In Latin, in Russian, a dead language in Russian. No,
I wanted to learn French because I was going to fucking Canada.
That's stupid.
Where I was gonna need it.
That's stupid.
Pushing your buttons. Once they know something that annoys you, they'll bring it up or do it every chance they get.
Bringing up topics that you know will get you heated.
Oh my god, yes. Like, he used to purposely try and debate me. And yeah. Then I would be like, I don't want to fucking do this. He would be like, why? I'm just trying to have a debate with you. And, like, when I would get fucking annoyed, he'd be like, why are you getting so angry? We're just having a debate. Like, you can't do that when you're debating with people. I didn't want to fucking debate with you, bitch!
Is this a decathlon? I didn't fucking think so. What the
fuck? Yeah, anyway, he's like, I just want to debate. I don't fucking trust them.
Yeah, literally. You have to both want to be in a debate for it to be a debate. Or exactly. Else you're the couch meme.
Yeah.
Well, one is just ranting at the other. Yeah. And, like, it's never, like, let's debate about, like, the best kind of pizza or some shit like that. It's no. Like, do black people deserve rights? That's always the kind of shit that they do.
Exactly.
It's like that one person in, like, a college class is like, well, why is murder bad?
Ugh, yeah. Like,
devil's advocate.
Hear me out.
Murder is okay.
God.
It's always those kind of people.
Yep. So the next section is control and shame. Threats. Telling you they'll take the kids and disappear, or saying there's no telling what I might do. Things like that.
Or even specific threats, like I'll send nudes to everyone you know. I know all of your secrets. Imagine if this person knew that.
Yeah, blackmail. Okay. Monitoring your whereabouts. They want to know where you are all the time and insist that you respond to calls or texts immediately. They might even show up just to see if you're where you said you would be.
Which is like, it's almost like a parent. You know, when kids are like, I'm going to Stacy's, actually. They went to, like, Fred's for a party or whatever. Except they're not your parent. I mean, maybe they will be.
Well.
But, or, like, putting tracking apps on your phone.
Yeah.
Calling your friends.
There's a difference between being like, hey, when you get there, text me just so I know you're okay.
Yeah.
And be like, you have to text me every time I text you. Every time I call you, you have to answer. There's a difference.
And repeatedly calling and texting until you do so.
Yeah.
And I've even seen threats. Like, if you don't answer me, I'm going to kill myself. Oh, maybe I should add suicide to the trigger warning.
Fuck!
It's okay.
Suicide.
Just out of nowhere. Suicide. Or you're not going to like what happens if you don't answer me in this amount of time.
Yeah.
A lot of these double up.
Digital spying. They might check your internet history, emails, texts, call log. They may even demand your passwords, which my abuser did. He would demand he has all of my passwords. One of the ones he demanded was my school login password, which obviously he shouldn't fucking have because he could fuck me over, you know, so I gave him a fake one. He had promised he wouldn't actually use it, you know, he just wanted to have it. So I gave him a fake one because what's he going to say if he tries to log in and it doesn't work? Then I'll know.
I have a feeling he was going to check your grades and, like, shame you if you weren't doing well.
Oh, definitely. See, this is the fucking thing.
This is the rub.
Because, like, your abusers will lash out at you for things that normal people wouldn't. So, like, if I got a bad grade, you know, some people would be like, damn, like, well, you need to do better, you know?
Or most people wouldn't really give a shit.
Yeah, wouldn't really give a shit. But if I got a bad grade, he would just, I mean, you know, if you are in an abusive relationship, you know, they just fucking go off.
It's like a personal slight.
Yes. And so in order to avoid that, unfortunately, you lie. And so I started to believe that I was a bad person for lying. But if you have to lie in a relationship because they're abusing you, that's not your fault. And you shouldn't feel guilty.
I never understood the thinking of, like, yet again, parents do this. I won't get mad if you just tell me. Or I won't get mad at you if you're just honest. And then they get mad when you're honest. And then you start to lie. But then you feel like a bad person because you're lying.
Yeah, it's hard.
What do?
Exactly.
Because, like, bad grades can kind of be inevitable, especially if you're, like, a neurotypical person.
Yeah. Neurodivergent?
Oh, sorry. Neurodivergent.
Yeah,
person.
I was like, wait, that's not it.
Delusion. Convince yourself. I'm neurotypical. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
But yeah. I don't, and yet again, I with a lot of these situations, it could be looking for cheating, looking for what you're saying about them.
Yeah.
Making sure you're not reaching out for help.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you have to lie to survive, you're fine. Like,
you're fine. No, I mean, like, it's okay to lie.
Like,
in that situation.
It's okay. Like, it's not we're fine. Not judging you for that. It's not okay. Trust me, bitch, get out. But
The way you made the sound. It's okay if you're in a relationship like that. You're fine.
No, that is not what I fucking meant.
We mean you're not a bad person. Yes. If you have to lie.
Unilateral decision making. They might close a joint bank account, cancel your doctor's appointment, or speak to your boss without asking.
We are going to do this, but the we is me, I've decided.
Yes, basically.
The we is me.
The we is me. Thank you.
And your decisions aren't taken into account.
No. Financial control. They might keep bank accounts only in their name and make you ask for money, even if it's your money. You might be expected to account for every penny you spend. In kind of the same vein, they may also try to get you to quit your job, so you have to rely on them. So then you cannot leave because you have no source of income.
You have nowhere to live.
Yep.
Nowhere, no resources.
Exactly.
Like, and you can't buy yourself a car, an apartment, etc. Yep.
And they try and cut you off from your family, too, so you might not have anyone.
So.
In my case, he would always say that my money is our money. And I would have to constantly be like, no, we aren't married. It's my fucking money.
Which makes absolutely no sense. Like, why does he want your money? It's not like you were rolling in dough back then.
No, no, it's not that he wanted my money. It was more like, well, we're going to get married at some point, so it's our money. Kind of a way to be like, so I get to know how much money you have at all times.
Which makes no sense.
Try control it.
It wasn't that fucking much.
No, it wasn't. But that's another thing I had to lie about, how much money I had saved. Because if I didn't have enough money saved, why aren't you saving enough money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's almost like he saw you as like a, oh, what's it called? Like, grandparents do it for their grandkids or whatever to get when they're 18. Like a trust or something. Like, okay, I have this much money saved that I can use later. Okay. Yeah.
Lecturing. Belaboring your errors with long monologues. Make it clear that they think you're beneath them. They do no wrong. But every little fucking mistake you make is catastrophic. Direct orders. From get my dinner on the table now to stop taking the pill. Orders are expected to be followed despite your plans to the contrary.
I remember a lot of the time, like at dinner or something, he'd be like, get me this drink or whatever. And you'd be like, what do we say?
Not even that. He'd be like, I'm thirsty. And like, show me his cup's empty. Okay, so then you fucking say, can you please give me a drink? Who fucking raised you?
Well, I don't know. Use your two working legs and get yourself a drink.
Yeah. I'm thirsty. And?
Die. Die from dehydration.
Yeah, die then. Thanks.
Oh, that was so fucking annoying. Oh my god. So fucking annoying.
Oh my god.
If it weren't for the laws of these lambs, he would be catching these hands.
Shirt. If it weren't for the laws of these lands, you'd be catching these hands. The funniest thing, though, too, that I think about sometimes is he was always like, because they always want to know what your family thinks of them.
Yes, you know? The perception of them.
Yes.
So not good. Like,
does your sister hate me?
Yes.
And I'd be like, no, no, of course not.
And he had asked me if I'd been like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You stupid bitch.
I would shit on your grave.
Yeah. I still would.
Yeah. And mom and dad didn't like him either for different reasons, mostly because it was cheap.
Yep.
Like he would never pay for a anything. Like, usually when someone takes you out to dinner, you would offer
at least offer to pay,
at least, or I don't know, not make your partner drive literally everywhere and pay for the gas too.
Yep. But my favorite thing that I hadn't had in here, but I'll add it here now, also, there was a time when I was fucking dirt poor, poorer than I am now, because I was in college and I didn't have a job at this point, and he would want to go out to eat, and I'd be like, okay, but I don't have any money, and he'd be like, it's fine, like, I'll pay, and I was like, okay, and then he would make me feel guilty for the fact that he paid.
Yep, when you didn't even want to go out in the first place.
I would have been perfectly fine not going out. Yep. Love that.
Love that. And didn't he have a job?
At that point, yes. I think so.
If you are in a partnership, here's the thing. You are going to go through ebbs and flows. There may be times where one of you has a job and the other does not. Both of you have jobs. There may be times that, like, neither of you guys have jobs, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's just like, when you're in a partnership, and let's say you're down and out, your partner picks up the slack and they don't make you feel bad about it. Outbursts. You were told to cancel that outing or put the car in the garage, but you didn't. So now you have to put up with a red-faced tirade about how uncooperative you are.
It's a definition of, like, a disproportionate reaction.
Yes, definitely. We know those.
It's like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Like, how can you be this angry about nothing?
Yeah, basically.
Nothing. A nothing burger. Thank you.
A nothing burger. I love it.
Like, I don't even know how to put my thoughts into words. I always question, like, are they actually that angry? Or what?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're angry that they couldn't get you to do something.
Yeah, it's the control aspect. It's that they couldn't control you enough to get you to do it.
And it could just be a genuine mistake, like, oh shit.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Things happen. We're people. We're not perfect.
No. For them it does.
Oh yeah.
For them things happen.
They're perfect.
They're fine. Everyone else? No.
Sucks. Treating you like a child. They tell you what to wear, what and how much to eat, or which friends you can see. For me, this looked like him bossing me around, and then when I said he's not my parent, he would say that my parents were shitty parents, so basically, he has to be my parent.
Could that go into, like, trying to force you into nursing? Because, like, he knew better what job you should do?
Basically, yeah.
I don't know. Like, even back then, I was like, a nurse? Like, wasn't very caring, but...
Yeah, very caring. Love to help people. Me and blood or bodily fluids. Ugh. Feigned helplessness.
Oh my fucking god.
They may say they don't know how to do something. And sometimes it's easier to just do it yourself than explain it to them. So my abuser feigned not knowing how to use a toaster, cook, do laundry, clean. So then I would just do it since it's easier.
But you know the funniest thing? He always had a critique of how you did it though.
Oh, 100%.
My mom doesn't do it like that. My mommy doesn't make it like that.
Yeah, my mommy doesn't do it like that.
You should add salt.
Yeah. They know it's easier for you to just do it if they feign incompetence, and they take advantage of that. Unpredictability. They'll explode with rage out of nowhere, suddenly shower with you with affection, or become dark and moody at the drop of a hat to keep you walking on eggshells.
In the words of Taylor Swift, I lived in your chess game, but you changed the rules every day.
Thank you. For me, this meant that I would tell him something like, for instance, I'm going on vacation with my family, and it'd be perfectly fine. But then, you know, a while later, I'd bring it up again, and he would explode with rage and claim I never told him, you know, when obviously I had. There was also one time where we had been talking on the phone, we hang up, whatever. A few minutes later, he called me in a rage because he had been talking to his mom about how my computer is still broken and was angry that I hadn't gotten it fixed yet. He called me back just to yell at me about a computer that had literally nothing to do with him.
I'm too lazy for that shit. What? Do you remember why it was broken? Was that the oatmeal substance?
No. It was, I had a virus or something was wrong. And Dad was going to have one of his IT friends help, but they have a fucking job, so they were busy. I just had to wait. That's why it wasn't fixed. And so then after that fucking incident, I was like, well, I'm going to have to fucking fix it myself. So I did. I figured
Fine,
it out.
I'll do it myself. Yeah, Thanos moment. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's inconsequential to them.
It literally nothing to do with him.
It's like they're searching for reasons to yell at you.
Yeah, exactly. They're making up reasons. And it's like, over a conversation I wasn't even a part of.
I don't understand. Like, can they not regulate their feelings?
Apparently not.
To that extent?
Like,
that's like, I'm angry. Me.
Let me call her back and just, what the fuck?
So anyways, I just started blasting.
Yeah. They walk out. In a social situation, stomping out of a room leaves you holding the bag. At home, it's a tool to keep the problem unresolved. So my abuser would do something that made me upset. I'd say I'm upset. He would start a fight about it and then try to leave mid-fight. Obviously, I would beg him to stay because I'm a fucking idiot. And he would if I promised to drop the whole fight. The way that they like manipulate you is so fucking disgusting.
Oh, it was like, bitch, I know.
Jesus fucking Christ.
They make you feel like you've done fucking everything.
Yep, everything's your fault. Okay, using others. Abusers may tell you that everybody thinks you're crazy, or they all say you're wrong. For me, he would say that his friends thought I was, like, weird or whatever because I didn't talk a lot and I was shy. But in reality, his friends liked me.
I hung out with some of his friends.
Without him.
Yeah. And when I wasn't there, they would ask about me. So it's just another way to make you question your reality.
Mm-hmm. And make you feel even more isolated.
Yeah. The next section is accusing, blaming, and denial. Jealousy. They accuse you of flirting or cheating on them. Turning the tables. They say that you caused their rage and control issues by being such a pain.
What was the last one you said?
Turning the tables.
Ah, yes. Are you going to go into that one or no?
Well, they say that you caused their rage and control issues by being such a pain. I mean, it's just accusing you of, you know,
mm-hmm.
things you are doing again.
Also making it just seem like every emotion that they have is a reaction to something you did even when it's not.
Yep. Damn, you're so eloquent.
Like, your computer being broken. He got mad, like, you purposefully broke it, and we're purposefully not fixing it just to get at him.
As if I didn't fucking need my laptop.
As if you were, like, going on shady sites to be like, this will really get at him. This will really get at him. Let's download these viruses.
Oh, my God.
Hot singles in my area, just the thing I need.
Yeah. Let's load this baby up with viruses.
And then you, like, call him, and you're like,
oh, this guess is the what, bitch?
This is gonna get him. I have a virus on my computer, and I'm not going to get it fixed.
Take that. Denying something you know is true. An abuser will deny that an argument or agreement ever took place. This is called gaslighting. It's meant to make you question your own memory and sanity, which for me, aside from obviously physical violence, this is the worst one, I think. Because it's like, if you can't trust yourself and your memories, who can you trust? They really make you think that your version of reality is wrong.
And that makes you even more dependent on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did that thing really happen? Please tell me. And they could twist it.
Yep.
Oh, no, that didn't. Or, actually, this is the way it happened.
Yep.
And they can do it to get out of anything.
Yep.
I never said that. You mistook what I said. I actually said this thing, even though you know in your soul. That's not what you fucking said.
I'm so triggered.
And it's just another way to manipulate you.
Yep.
And gaslighting is a repeated thing.
Oh, yeah.
It happens over and over. It's a repeated breakdown. Like, imagine you're a house. It's taking every single brick from that house,
yep,
piece by piece, with every single lie.
Love that for us.
And I really, this is another one. I would love to talk to an abusive piece of shit. Like, genuinely. To be like, do you really think that happened? Or are you purposefully trying to gaslight them? I really want to know.
I feel like it's purposeful.
How far does the shittery go?
But it's also like, because I've always like wondered this. Do they know deep down they're being abusive? Or is it like a thing that just happens? Does that make sense?
I almost feel like, and this is my hypothesis, I have no training in this area. I feel like when we're kids, we learn certain things. Like babies cry. They know if they cry, they get what they want.
Yeah.
I feel like as adults, you also learn the same thing. Like, if you smile, that's a good thing. If you cry, that's a bad thing. A lot of these are involuntary, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If you are nice to someone, you'll probably get niceness back, etc. I think abusers learn, if I do this thing,
I can get what I want.
I get what I want easily. I'm going to keep doing it, and I don't really care if it hurts them.
That's a good point. Thank you for that. Using guilt. They might say something like, you owe me this. Look at all I've done for you. In an attempt to get their way.
Like, I bought you dinner. You should, I don't know.
Do the sex.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah. You owe me this thing.
Yep.
Even when you don't. You don't owe anyone anything.
No.
Unless you borrow money. Because then, you do owe them
something.
You
should pay them back, yes.
You owe them that. But you know what I mean.
Goading, then blaming.
Oh.
What? Go ahead.
Another one for the guilting could be like, I put up with so much of your shit.
Oh, yeah.
You shouldn't even complain about it.
Yep.
I deal with you being overly emotional. You're lying. You're whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't deal with, I don't know, me yelling.
Yeah.
All the things I do for you. Another thing, just like almost putting up with your existence.
Goading, then blaming. Abusers know how to upset you, but once the trouble starts, it's your fault for creating it. So starting fights. I almost said farts.
Starting farts.
Starting fights, and then turning around and be like, why'd you start that fight?
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, why are you doing this?
Or why are you being upset at what I did?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Why are you upset?
Denying their abuse. When you complain about their attacks, abusers will deny, seemingly bewildered, the very thought that they would do that.
And this can even often happen in therapy, which is why sometimes, like, I see people warning against going to therapy with their abuser.
Yes.
Because they can turn it around and be like, I don't know how you could even think that. How could you even think I'm trying to hurt you? That I'm lying to you? I put up with all of your shit because I love you and you think this lowly of me?
Yeah, exactly. That's a pro tip. If you're in an abusive relationship, do not go to therapy with them. Do not do it.
Go alone, definitely.
Go alone. 100% go alone. 100% go alone. But do not go with them because they can turn the therapist against you.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Or they can make it seem like use your mental illness against you.
Yeah, basically make you seem like you are crazy.
You are the crazy one because they're the composed ones.
Yes.
They're the ones that can say, her mom says this too, or like exactly. Her best friend even says that she can get a little manic,
yeah,
or a little out of there. Oh, she's on different medications because she can get a little wild, a little crazy, you know?
Yeah,
she had a lying problem when she was a kid because she did XYZ.
Yep,
it's oh, they're master manipulators, they're master manipulators, and like some therapists can cut through the shit, yeah, but you can't trust that they can,
yeah, accusing you of abuse. They say you're the one who has anger and control issues, and they're the helpless victim. One incident I remember in particular, this man has grabbed me before. The one time I fought back and lightly shoved him, not even hard, because as you know, I'm not strong.
You're not strong, you're not the Hulk.
He threw himself to the ground and looked at me with this feigned look of, like, being scared of me. Mind you, this man had, like, 6 inches on me.
Was like a trained like black belt where
I was. Yeah, fucked. He was in fucking karate! And he's acting like, mind you, I didn't even push him hard. He threw himself on the fucking ground. That's the kind of shit I'm talking about.
Like, I want you to picture this. You know Karens, when they're getting arrested by police, how they throw themselves on the ground? That is what we are talking yes. about. Like, you touch them and they're dead on the ground.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Lizzie the pacifist. Okay. I've to this day never seen you that fucking mad as mad as he could get you.
Exactly.
I feel like I know you like top three best, like best people that know you. Okay. If I made a concerted effort to make you angry, I still don't think I could get you that angry.
No. I've never laid a hand on anyone in my fucking life. Trivializing. When you want to talk about your hurt feelings, they accuse you of overreacting and making mountains out of molehills.
What? You're angry about that? It was just a joke. It was just a passing comment. I didn't exactly. mean it like that. Why are you angry about it?
Yep.
Or they can even say, well, you did this thing to me, which is obviously a bigger deal, even if it's not.
Yep.
Even if it's a perceived slight. Like, I know I yelled and screamed at you, but you didn't get your computer fixed.
So, bitch.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
Saying you have no sense of humor. Abusers make personal jokes about you. If you object, they tell you to lighten up.
And it, like a joke at your expense. It's never about them.
Oh no, of course not.
You can't do the same.
Blaming you for their problems. Whatever's wrong in their life is all your fault. You're not supportive enough, didn't do enough, or stuck your nose where it didn't belong. Destroying and denying. They might crack your cell phone screen or lose your car keys and then deny it.
That wasn't me.
Yeah. I would never do that.
I wouldn't move your stuff.
The last section is emotional neglect and isolation. Demanding respect. No perceived slight will go unpunished, and you're expected to defer to them, but it's a one-way street.
Whether it's apologizing, doing something for them, completely admitting you're wrong even when you're not.
Oh my god, I did that all the time. I remember one time... Like, we had a fight, I apologized, and then, like, he kept the fight up, so I was like, you know what, fuck you, I apologized, and I wasn't actually fucking sorry. And he's like, oh, so you're a liar.
There it is.
So you lied.
Yep.
Yeah. The way they fucking twist it around is infuriating.
We forgot about the leaving the situation.
Ah! Yes, walking okay. out! Bitch,
okay,
this
so
story.
Going back to the walking out during a fight. Okay, let's get into it.
Let me set Strap the scene. In. Let me set the scene here. So we're in fucking public. We're at a zoo, bitch. And this man starts a fight with me. And then
I feel like it's even more funny if you talk about what the fight was. Because okay. It's a perfect example of, like, a nothing burger, a nothing fight.
He had a bruise on his leg. And he thought this meant that he had diabetes. And when I was like, no, like you're fine. Like, it's not diabetes. And, like, just trying to logic it out, you know? How fucking dare I? Oh, because I brought the bruise up. That's what it was. It was just, like, a nothing. I was like, oh, like, yeah, bruise on your leg. Like, what happened? You know? Concerned, normal thing. And then, how dare I bring that up, knowing that he's worried he might have diabetes. This man!
Based on nothing.
Based on nothing. Literally nothing. This man then takes off when I... He's a runner. He's a track star.
Like a kid that needs a leash. Yeah. He needs one of those backpacks.
I play it in my mind sometimes because it's really fucking funny to look back at now.
He was fighting for his life.
But what a fucking loser. The way that he's running and he just...
In my head, I picture him Naruto running through this zoo away from you.
God. So he runs. He literally runs away. And then I tried calling him, he wouldn't fucking answer. He just...
Did you try running after him, or did you just let him
go?
No,
I was fucking done. I walked after him, and I was like, this fucking bitch. So then I'm calling him, I'm like, he's not fucking answering me. I literally was looking for flights home for the next day.
Oh, yeah, because you went out to visit him.
Yes,
and where he was staying. Like,
bitch.
Like,
but
I'm
playing in my mind sometimes, seeing his face.
Like, you were coming to kill him. Like, you were coming to kill him. Like, he was Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
My God, it's Jason Bourne. He ran away because you brought up a bruise, and he was worried he had diabetes. He's like, you know what I need to do?
I need to run away. It was a lot. Oh, my fucking God. Okay. Shutting down communication. They'll ignore your attempts at conversation in person, by text, or by phone. So in my experience, if we were fighting and speaking over the phone, he would decide he was done and hang up on me and turn off his phone so I couldn't reach him.
Or he'd run away and I answer your calls.
Yeah, or just fucking run away, you know.
In a zoo, ladies and gentlemen.
This motherfucker just takes off! He said, I'm a runner. I'm a track star.
I can't imagine being a grown-ass person. He's literally, when that happened, he's older than I am now, okay? Yes. I can't imagine being a grown-ass person and be like, you know what I'm going to do to leave this situation?
Gotta zoom.
I'm going to run. This situation I caused.
Yeah. The fight that I started, I gotta run from it now.
Which shouldn't even be a fight. This is a conversation of like, hey, I have a bruise. Do you think I have diabetes? No? Oh, okay. Neat. I might book an appointment anyways. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, the man who refused to go to the fucking doctor was worried he had diabetes.
What is it? Oh my fucking God. Another thing. Every abusive man I've ever met in my fucking life doesn't want to go to the doctor.
For some fucking reason.
This is like a weird string, okay? Of like, what is it?
I wonder if it's because doctors have some kind of authority.
I have no fucking idea. If you have like an abusive person in your life, do they refuse to go to the doctor? Are we like on to something here?
Maybe it's a sign.
Refuses to go to the doctor. Every anti-vaxxer
is an abuser. They're quaking. Okay. Dehumanizing you. They'll look away when you're talking or stare at something else when they speak to you.
Now, there is one caveat to this. You need to know that they're doing it purposefully. Because they could be neurodivergent.
Okay, yeah, let me put that in. If some people who are neurodivergent, they can't, like, make eye contact.
Like, I have a very hard time with eye contact. I try my very best.
Yeah.
But you know, you can tell.
When they're purposely doing it.
Someone isn't listening and is purposefully like, I don't care.
Yes. So, like, when I would try and have a conversation with him about something he did or if we're in the middle of a fight, he would start playing on his phone and refuse to look at me, even when I brought up how rude that it was, that he wouldn't look at me. Like, it's to make you feel like you are nothing. You are so worthless, they don't even have to look at you when they speak to you.
Mm-hmm. Just be careful about this one. Maybe ask a question. Like, hey.
Hey, are you neurodivergent by any chance?
Does eye contact make you uncomfortable? Is that what this is?
Yeah. Keeping you from socializing. Whenever you have plans to go out, they come up with a distraction or beg you not to go.
I need help with this thing. Well, can you not go out because I need you to help me with this thing? You know, mm-hmm. cleaning the house, working on assignment, blah, 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 blah. Well, why don't you stay in with me instead?
Yep.
And it's another way to just get you away from the people that you love.
And there's trying to come between you and your family.
A classic. A classic of this man.
They'll tell family members that you don't want to see them, or in my case, make you think that your family is awful. I already had a bad relationship with my parents.
So, like, he had some valid points. He had some points.
Yep, but he used that to his advantage.
Yes.
To make it so that I couldn't have a relationship with my parents. And he would speak horribly about them and try to put, like, even more of a wedge between us. And he would also get angry if I said things like, my sister's my best friend.
Like, I remember. Like, there are some valid things that you can say against, like, a lot of parents. But one of his complaints was that they didn't have a trust fund for us. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. He was mad that they weren't paying for my college.
Yeah.
How classist. Because his parents were rich. His mommy and daddy paid for everything for him. So, like, why couldn't mine? That was the other thing. If you go out, you'd be like, well, why don't your parents give you money? Because they're not a fucking bank? What?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Also, his mommy did everything for him.
His mommy did everything for him.
I'm surprised she didn't make him little dino nuggies and tie his shoes. And wipe his little nose when he got home. But yeah, so, like, it's not even justified a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it's so funny to me that he got mad that I was your best friend.
Yeah, one time I said something like, oh, my sister's my best friend. You know, something normal that's completely, like, just offhanded, you know? Just,
like, why wouldn't you be happy? My sister's my best
friend. Oh, she's your best friend? Yeah, bitch. She's my best friend. She's my fucking sister.
A fucking 12-year-old, or however old I was there, is beating you
yeah,
in the best friend category.
So I believe I'm on withholding affection. They won't touch you, not even hold your hand, or pat you on the shoulder. They may refuse sexual relations to punish you or get you to do something. Tuning you out. They'll wave you off, change the subject, or just plain ignore you when you want to talk about your relationship. Actively working to turn others against you. They'll tell coworkers, friends, and even your family that you're unstable and prone to hysterics. Calling you needy. When you're really down and out for support, they'll tell you you're too needy or the world can't stop turning for your little problems. Interrupting. You're on the phone or texting and they get in your face to let you know your attention should be on them. Indifference. They see you hurt or crying and they do nothing. My abuser would ignore when I would cry. Like, he seemed just so cold and I could never understand how me crying didn't bother him at all. Especially when, like, if someone you love cries, like...
How can you be unaffected?
You feel something, you know? Disputing your feelings. Whatever you feel, they'll say that you're wrong to feel that way, or that's not really what you feel at all. Something else that I feel needs to be talked about is codependence. A codependent relationship is when everything you do is in reaction to your abuser's behavior, and they need you just as much to boost their own self-esteem. You've forgotten how to be any other way. It's a vicious cycle of unhealthy behavior. So you're unhappy in the relationship, but for your alternatives. Consistently neglect your own needs for the sake of theirs. Ditch friends and sideline your family members to please your partner. Frequently seek out your partner's approval. Critique yourself through your abuser's eyes, ignoring your own instincts. Make a lot of sacrifices to please the other person, but it's not reciprocated. Would rather live in the current state of chaos than be alone. Bite your tongue and repress your feelings to keep the peace. Feel responsible and take the blame for something they did. Defend your abuser when others point out what's happening. Try to rescue them from themselves. Feel guilty when you stand up for yourself. Think you deserve this treatment. Believe that nobody else could ever want to be with you. Change your behavior in response to guilt. Your abuser says, I can't live without you, so you stay. Now here are some things to look out for when you first start dating someone. Jealousy. At the beginning of a relationship, abusers will say that jealousy is a sign of love, but it's not. It's a sign of insecurity and possessiveness. Controlling behavior. They may try and frame things as they are concerned for your safety. That's why they need to know who you're with, when, for how long.
They might also use this to question the people in your life. Are they really good for you? Are you sure yes. You should be friends with them? I think they're a bad influence. Maybe you should stop talking to them.
And this can escalate to them controlling other aspects in your life, like what you wear. Quick involvement. Basically, they jump into relationships and try to rush them along, like getting engaged within 6 months of knowing each other or moving in together quickly.
And the way they can do this is so that they can show themselves. Because it's hard to be a fake person for a while.
Yes.
It's hard to love bomb for so long and make it seem like you're a great partner and keep them. Once they're married, you can be whoever the fuck you want. And they're kind of stuck. Same with kids.
Unrealistic expectations. You're expected to take care of everything for them emotionally and meet all of their needs. Basically be the perfect partner. Isolation. Abusers try to cut their partner off from everyone they hold dear. Family, friends, coworkers. Blame others for their problems. They will tell their partners that they are at fault for basically anything that goes wrong. So if you start dating someone and they're like, oh yeah, this thing happened at work, but it's this person's fault. This happened, but it's that person's fault. And they don't take responsibility for fucking anything. Red flag.
This can also be shown in the how every single girlfriend they have is the crazy ex.
Yes.
For example.
They're most likely the common denominator then.
Yes.
Okay. So first of all, I would like to say that abuse almost always escalates. So while they may only be emotionally abusing you right now, it will most likely lead to physical violence. For years, I was emotionally abused. Then one day, he grabbed my wrist, and when I was scared and told him to let go of me, he brushed me off and told me to stop overreacting. That's not a big deal. Another time, after I ended a fight simply because I couldn't take it anymore, not because I had stopped being upset, he tried to initiate sex, and when I told him no, he grabbed my breast anyways. Being in that situation, it's easy to say, well, I'm not being abused because he didn't hit me, or I'm not really being abused like other people, but that's not the case. Even smaller things like that is abuse and assault. And for those of you to know, assault is defined as the act of inflicting physical harm or unwanted physical contact upon a person, or in some specific legal definitions, a threat or attempt to commit such an action. Sexual assault is defined as an act in which one intentionally sexually touches another person without that person's consent or physically forces a person to engage in a sexual act against their will. So even if they just grab like your breast without your consent, that is sexual assault, period.
If it was assault if a stranger did it, then it's still assault if your partner did it.
Yes.
Think about it in those terms.
Now let's look at some statistics about abuse and intimate partner violence. Right off the bat, one that really stuck with me was if you're in a domestic violence situation and your abuser has a gun, the chance of homicide goes up by 500%.
I believe I brought that up in the Nikki Adamondo case called self-defense or murder, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is a case of escalating domestic violence.
And in the same vein, if your abuser chokes or strangles you, your chances of being murdered by them goes up by 750%. If they strangle you, leave.
That is
you
an
will
attempt.
Die.
That is an attempt on your life.
They will kill you if you stay. On average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. That works out to be about 10 million women and men a year. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner contact sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking with impacts such as injury, fearfulness, PTSD, use of victim services, and sexually transmitted diseases.
I think it is also something we need to bring up here is that it's a belief, a surprisingly common held one, that you can't be raped by your partner. You 100%
yes. Oh,
can.
Oh, you 100% can.
If you withdraw consent and they continue, that is rape.
Yep.
You can absolutely be raped by your partner.
Yes. And there's also, like, an idea that men can't be raped, which
especially
is bullshit.
By their partners.
Which is bullshit.
And there's also other kinds of sexual assault, like coercion.
Yes.
So, for example, you have to have sex with me and this can be over. Or, I'll be happy if you have sex with me, for example. Or,
yep.
Tampering with birth control.
Oh, yes, there's also stealthing. So saying they have a condom on and you consent and agree to them having a condom, but then they don't use a condom. That is rape.
Or they take it off while you're having intercourse.
Yes,
that is
that's
rape.
You did not agree to that. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men have been victims of severe physical violence in their lifetime by an intimate partner. On a typical day, there are more than 20,000 phone calls placed to domestic violence hotlines nationwide. Women between the ages of 18 and 24 are most commonly abused by an intimate partner. I was 14 when I started dating my abuser.
I think it's because you don't know better. During those ages, you don't know better. You are very pliable.
Yes. Yep.
Because you don't know who you are. You don't know what a good relationship looks like.
Especially if your parents didn't have one.
Absolutely.
If you don't have something modeled for you.
Like a modeled good relationship. And during that, I feel like you don't have a good relationship with yourself yet.
Yes.
Like, you don't tend to have a ton of confidence. You don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You don't have, for example, like, a really stable job.
Yep.
A big goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of doing it.
Floating around. Yeah.
Doing it floating around. So it's even easier to take advantage of someone like that.
Yes.
And even easier when they're literally a child.
Yep. Oh, also, if you have a big age gap.
Absolutely.
There's a power dynamic at play.
In 100 different ways.
Yes.
So a teenager and even someone that's like late 20s, they're more likely to have a stable job, stable income. They're, you can see them as being more wise.
Yeah.
They can put you in a position of like, you're so mature, you're special.
Yep.
And I treat you like you're special.
But you're so much younger, so I should be the one making the decisions.
Yep.
Yes.
We're not saying that big age gaps mean abuse. We're
yeah, not saying, always. But it does happen a lot.
In the same way that, like, dating your boss, for example.
Is the same power dynamic kind of thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Or a college teacher. Like a college professor.
Dating a student.
Dating a student.
I also believe that a lot of the time abusers are narcissists. So I'd like to read you what is called the narcissist prayer to hopefully help some people. Jesus Christ.
Just keep this in your mind.
Yes.
When something is happening. So you know you're not crazy.
Yes. That didn't happen. And if it did, it wasn't that bad. And if it was, that's not a big deal. And if it was, that's not my fault. And if it was, I didn't mean it. And if I did, you deserved it.
It's like when you go through a fight with one of these people, you can see the steps.
Yes.
So keep it in your head so you know what they're doing. And you
yep.
know it's not you.
And I would also like to say that a song that I really related to lately, that other victims of emotional, psychological abuse may relate to, is Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish. She was in a relationship with an older man who emotionally abused her.
Like what you mentioned earlier, you made all my moments your own.
Yep. Just know that you're not alone. Too many people go through this every year, and many do not survive it. That's why we decided to do this episode. I came across a TikTok of a woman's best friend begging for justice for her. She was allegedly murdered by her partner because the case hasn't gone through yet.
So we have to say allegedly, not because we do not believe it, but because we don't want to get
sued. Legally. her name is Amanda Black, and she was only 22 years old and had a baby. She lived in northern British Columbia. Her best friend says that Halloween was Amanda's favorite holiday. When she was found dead in a townhouse in Fort St. John on February 8th of this year. The accused in this case was Amanda's partner, Shane Sutherland. The court is doing a preliminary inquiry to decide if there is enough evidence to convict him. It looks like, from another TikTok I watched, that Shane may have been part of a neo-Nazi group.
Allegedly.
I'll add in allegedly here. He also allegedly had posts with things like, "Hit her because you love her, not because you're angry." And just condoning violence against women in general. There currently is not a lot of information out there about Amanda because there's a publication ban, but we strongly encourage everyone to follow her best friend's TikTok account, which we will link, and just, you know, keep talking about her and talk about other individuals who are not lucky enough to make it out of their abusive relationships alive.
I just want to say the best friend's TikTok is OMG I Hate Blue, and there is another TikTok that she started at Fight for Amanda.
There's also a GoFundMe for Amanda's son that we will link if you would like to donate.
Who, just if you do spread the information on this case, both her friend and just, like, common sense is don't post any photos with her child or her family.
Yeah.
And don't mention her child's name.
Yeah.
Just out of respect for Amanda. But, yeah, that's what spurred this episode on. And she was begging the true crime community to
help
because no one was talking about it. It's not a big case.
Yep.
And so even though we don't have a very big audience,
we decided to spread it here.
Yeah, and I tried reaching out to a few other true crime podcasts. Let's see what
happens.
Hopefully
they'll pick it up.
For example, I reached out to Something Was Wrong. Even if they don't respond, their podcast is a great podcast.
Oh, yes.
And talks about abusive relationships and tells stories of actual survivors.
Yes.
So, I would also listen to them. Very good. Very bingeable, I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, those are hard to listen to, too.
Yes, they are.
Like, if you've been through it, you know? It's, like, simultaneously cathartic and,
at
like,
at the same time, difficult. It also triggers you sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you would think this far out of the relationship, I would be fine. But unfortunately, that's not how it works. I mean, I still get triggered
you're
sometimes.
You're not that far out.
Well,
you're not even
no,
half the amount of that relationship out.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It does help having a very supportive partner, though.
Just in general, in life.
In general, in life, yes. Makes things easier.
But yeah, there's also not going to be a makeup section, because this was a kind of a hard episode for everyone.
Oh my god.
For everyone all around. But yes, please check out the links that we put in our description.
Oh, yes, and
we have helplines.
Yes. National Domestic Violence Hotline. So you can call at 1-800-799-SAFE, which is 7233. I'll say it again. 1-800-799-7233. They also have a live chat option. And you can text them START to 88788 if you need help.
Oh, since we probably lost it, I can always move it around, but should we talk about what you should do if someone you love is in an abusive relationship?
Yes. Okay, so someone you love is in an abusive relationship, you unfortunately can't really get them out unless they want to. They have to want it. You can't force them out. You can try, but the problem is they will then resent you and push you out, which is exactly what their abuser wants. So it's better to say, I'm here for you if you need me.
Be there when they need you. Make sure that if they ever do leave, you can do everything that you can.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you can try to talk to them, but you aren't going to have the same kind of effect that their abusive partner has.
Yes.
Because their partner has warped their reality. So if you're confronting them with reality, it almost doesn't matter. It doesn't hit.
Yes. Because that's not their current reality.
Because it has changed.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they know that you will always love them, so they don't need to do anything for you. How else can I say that?
Yeah, like, your friends, mostly, and your family love you unconditionally. So, like...
Whereas their abuser loves them conditionally. So yes. They're going to meet those conditions to keep that love.
Yes. So it's like you are more likely to step on your family's toes to make your partner happy because your family will always be there for you.
And you know that you won't be in danger stepping on their toes.
Yes.
Or potentially hurting them, even if that's not your goal.
Yes.
And if you are that person trying to help them out, like I said, all you can do is be there.
Yeah.
And fucking hope. Hope for the best.
Hope for the best and just be there when they're ready to leave, hopefully.
And you can try to get them out as much as you can, but... like we said before, it could just end up pushing them into their abuser's hands.
Yes. So.
And try not to push too hard, because you could get cut out of their life.
Yes, which would not be a good thing. That's what their abuser wants.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's all from us. This has been a lot.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to edit this later. Thank you for listening. Where to find us on Instagram.
At BeautifulWithDudleyPod. Email us.
BeautifulButDeadlyPodcast@gmail.com.
You do that every time.
I know. Leave us a review, I guess. And please check out our links.
Yeah, go look at our links.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.